Are you under psychic attack? Are demonic forces surrounding you? Check in with us. Elizabeth Joyce with us. We're taking your phone calls this hour, next hour, Full Moon Friday, open lines. And welcome back to Coast, Elizabeth Joyce with us. We're going to take your calls in just a moment. Tell me one of your favorite stories, Elizabeth, that you've dealt with in terms of these true psychic stories.
Well, I have two of them. One of them was I was driving the car from Vermont to New Hampshire, and this is when, again, I was beginning to learn around the same time as the other. And she was talking about entities hosting your body, and I didn't believe it for a minute. So I'm driving the car, and all of a sudden my foot stuck to the gas pedal, and I was going very fast, and I couldn't move. I could not move my body. I couldn't move the other leg to put on the brake. So as I was speeding along, and I was almost up to 120 miles an hour, I decided it was an entity. So I rolled down the window, and I started saying, "I command you to leave now." And I did it about three times, and I felt these three beings leave my body, and I heard a screeching voice saying, "Hee, hee, hee, we got you." And I looked in the mirror, and the police car was behind me with the red ball, and he pulled me over.
How about that?
And that's the truth.
I believe
that. If I hadn't have known about entities, who knows what would have happened?
That's true. That's true. You know, you have given the folks some tips on some upbeat things we can do if we think we're under psychic attack. Want to just buzz through those real quickly?
Oh, sure. The first thing that you want to do is try not to go into fear.
Which a lot of people do.
Going into fear and not knowing that you have the power to get rid of them yourself. And then you have to start, I would start praying, and then I would start saying, "I command you to leave," and call in the angels right away, call in the angels, and do the best you can to get in the light. If you're in the dark, like if you're outside walking, you want to get in your light. You want to get out of that negative energy, and darkness can be a negative energy. Start clearing your thoughts, and just begin to fill your aura with light. You open up the top of, go to the center of the top of the head, and you bring the light in. Some people call it the Holy Ghost. Some people call it Shakti. Whatever your belief is, just bring the light in and feel yourself become strengthened. And just order them to be gone, and they'll leave.
And do they leave just like that?
They have to. That doesn't mean they don't come back. Because the next thing that you need to do after that, of course, is surround your aura with white light and then realize that you need to meditate more and become stronger. And you will. It does. Your aura builds up on a daily basis if you meditate. Get up and move around. And don't worry and don't fret. And then sometimes it's good to get something to eat or to drink, especially if you've been really hungry and you feel weak.
How many people does it just make them feel real sickly?
That depends. I would say if we were going to be talking about this, maybe one quarter of the people that have this experience can get sick for a period of time.
They get queasy, right?
Queasy. They can faint. If you're driving, you should stop the car and really work on, you know, getting yourself in center. You can get yourself into center, and then all entities will leave when you do that.
Elizabeth, do you think that good will beat evil all the time?
I think that good does beat evil. I think that when evil is present, that it's there for one of two reasons. One, to show you that you're weak, or the other one, to test you. And evil can envelop you. It can swallow you like quicksand. Because the rope, of course, is you exercising in your superiority as a human being. We have a superiority over entities and invisible forces. And I'm talking about invisible forces that are off the planet, not the ones that are being caused by something on the planet. That's a whole different ball of wax. So we're talking about natural forces, right, George?
Yes.
And as long as it's a natural force, you have the power. And when you go into fear, we always go into fear when something's going on that we don't know about. And when I have a nightmare, for example, and I wake up in the morning and I realize I've had a nightmare, the first thing I do is a clearing.
Do you get scared sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I got scared this last week. I had a real winter.
Huh.
But I got rid of it. when you meditate on deep levels, sometimes you bring up stuff from past lives, or you bring up stuff that's been hanging around for a long time, like an old pattern that you want to get rid of. And it can manifest in many ways. And one, this particular one was a nightmare. And I could feel it all day while I was walking around. And I finally, with the help of another lady who I work with, I got rid of it. So that was great.
We have
the power. It takes time.
Most people fear ghosts.
Yes.
We don't have like Casper running around making people laugh and feel jovial. They fear ghosts. How come?
Well, people fear ghosts basically because they can do things like move a lamp or crash a glass or they can scare them by walking through them, and you feel a chill in your body and you don't know what that was. But you need to realize two things. Number one, they have not crossed over yet, and you're the human being, so you're the one that can help them to cross over. And that they're there because of trauma, a tragedy, maybe they were murdered, maybe they died in their sleep from a nightmare, whatever it was, you are there to help them cross. So what I do is teach people to send them to a sphere of light where they can evolve.
Let's go to some calls for you. Lisa is in Van Nuys, California, on the Wild Card Line. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Okay, I have an interesting situation. Hi, Elizabeth. I sort of broke up with somebody. There was no closure.
Okay.
And I've been experiencing weirdness for 3 weeks. Now, I didn't do the breaking up. It was just kind of just weirdness.
Okay, happened. So my question to you is, are you still thinking of him and wanting him back?
Not anymore. There's the tiniest, tiniest fraction.
It wears off, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So just tell his essence to leave. Thank the essence for the, and this is from somebody that's alive, George, so this is a little different than the other.
Right.
Tell the essence to leave. Tell them thank you for the time shared. You know that your time is done with him and his time is done with you, and bless him and send him to the light and wish him well.
Okay, I have another one.
You do this to me? I'm afraid of you. I don't want you to do this to me. You're invading me. And then when you do that, you're being negative. So just honor what you shared. And send him, see him turn around and walk away, and you'll be okay.
Okay, can I share one more thing?
Sure.
Okay, this past week I got really sick, mm-hmm. and I found out that my friend was really sick, and she had given me a Hamsa hand, it's from the Middle East. It's a protective symbol.
Oh, that's called the Five Hands of God. Yes, I know that.
Yeah. Okay. And I found out she was in the hospital. It was really bad. And I had some of her symptoms. But I was really sick. Like, today is the first day I almost feel normal.
You sound normal.
Okay, let me tell you what happened. You chose, on a subconscious level, to help her get well. So she started draining your energy towards her.
You took her illness.
Because you have a good friendship. And therefore, it's called shadowing. And you'll be okay.
But she basically took over the disease, didn't she?
No, she felt the symptoms from the... It's a psychic thing, and it's called shadowing. It doesn't harm the person that's doing the healing, but the person that's doing the healing will feel it for a while.
I think it killed Elizabeth Edgar Cayce. He did so many trances for people.
That's true, and he may not have known how to
weakened
put it out.
It. Yeah.
Yes, it can weaken you. And the way that you strengthen it is to honor the fact that you were there to help her, and then you fill yourself with light. Sit down and open up that top of the head and bring that light in and replenish.
Let's go to Paducah, Kentucky, east of the Rockies. Mark's with us. Hey, Mark, thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. Good evening, George.
Hey.
I wanted to speak especially to Mrs. Joyce there.
She's there for you.
And I've had a curse on me, I guess, ever since I've been in the fourth
Stop
grade.
Stop right there. Nobody can put a curse on you. Say that back to me.
I've had a curse or I don't know whether you would call it a curse or something wrong with the aura or vibes or whatever it is. But I'm one of these people that if anything bad can happen, it does. And even if it's impossible, it does even worse. I mean, you know, I
do you meditate? Are you in alignment?
I don't know. I don't meditate.
Okay. So if you want to change your life, you need to take some time to meditate. You need to take some time to put your body in alignment.
Okay.
And that will stop this from happening over a period of time.
Yeah,
and there are many, many, many websites and many people that will tell you this and tell you how to do it. I do have something called the Chakras and Your Body on my website that's fabulous. I worked with Richard Sherman. George, you know Richard.
I sure do.
He did Ascension, and Richard and I worked very closely together. And the music and the meditation will realign you. It's the greatest thing I've ever done. I did it in 1993, and I've helped thousands of people. But, George, I'm telling you, you need to align your body because you're in a what's called a pattern. You're in a habit. You do not have a curse on you. I'm telling you that right now.
Now, explain that for me, though, Elizabeth, because you know, I just had a guest on yesterday, Judica Ellis, who said that people can put curses on other people. So
can't.
And you say no.
Nope. I have a very strong reason for saying that, and I should follow up with saying unless you give them permission. And people don't give other people permission to put curses on them.
They shouldn't.
And this I have proven out in my experience time after time after time. Somebody can say, George, what if I say I put a curse on you? And then you're going to believe it. So then you're going to talk yourself into that. But nobody can put a curse on somebody else. They cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
People try to do it.
They try to
We're
do
talking
it.
Talking about this a little bit with the gypsies that will go and light candles and make people sick. But that's energetic, and that can be removed. And the way that you remove it is to get yourself into alignment, and then it must leave. It's like an entity.
So if you don't even know they're putting a curse on you, you definitely can't get it. Is that correct?
If you don't even know that they're putting a curse on
right.
you,
and you have
you're
no
going
idea.
Around robbing banks, they can put a curse on you if you're weak. But or there can be an energy sent to you that you'll accept. I'm looking at this, instead of a curse, I want to look at it as an energetic experience.
Let's go to Long Island, New York. It's Tom's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Tom. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good to have you with us, Tom.
Let me just say, first off, what an incredible honor it is to just talk to you, too. It really is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
About when the tsunami happened in Japan, about 2 weeks prior to that, I started having the worst anxiety attacks you could ever imagine. Like, I couldn't sleep for days. I was trying to talk to anybody I could to try to just say that one special sentence that maybe, like, would just trigger this.
Did you know that it was going to be a tsunami?
Well, I was having really horrible nightmares every time I fell asleep, and I would have a dream about me and my dog, like a recurring dream, running and getting in my car and then driving down the expressway. And I could see in the rearview mirror, it was just this big wave taking all the cars out behind me.
Okay, so that's another form of shadowing, and that's called precognition. You were picking up on an experience that was about to happen. And the only thing that you can do with a precognition is to try to turn it around. Turn around, look at the wave, and send it back. Watch it recede. And ask for the fact that the experience doesn't happen, because you're praying for the world. So you're with your dog and you're in this dream, and when you come out of the dream, you can go back into the dream and you can have your dog bark at the wave and you can tell the wave to recede and watch it recede.
I wish it was that easy, you know?
Yeah.
I know, because you get into the fear and you don't realize that you have the power. I was with Richard Hoagland on the cruise, on the 2012 cruise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because he was on Coast to Coast that night.
Yeah, he was calling in.
Right, I know. It was really something.
Try to collect call on us, but we got him.
I tell you, the morning that it happened was like probably the first hour of sleep that I had.
Uh-huh.
I actually had a little bit of confirmation, too, because something pretty bad happened. I shouldn't even get into it, but it doesn't matter because
you may not realize that a part of you was picking up on it and that maybe you were helping to heal it or make it not so bad.
Maybe. I was going to say, I shouldn't tell you, but it doesn't matter. I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing. I was like nickel and diamond stupid stuff at the
time.
So I was being watched by the police around here. And the morning that it happened, the police busted my door in. Probably an hour before it actually happened over there.
It was a whole negative. You were in a negative vibration. George, this is making my point, that if you're not meditating and you're doing something and you're in a negative vibration, you're going to receive this energy a lot faster and a lot quicker than if you
I agree with that.
That probably would have helped, but try, for everybody that's listening, try not to buy into the fear. Know that you're going through an experience, that it's energetic, and that you have the power to change it.
Is it, Elizabeth, too silly to wake up every morning and, you know, say a few little meditative things, or should you do it all the time?
Well, Louise Hay teaches, she was my teacher, teaches to have morning meditation and nightly review. Wake up in the morning and tie in, or say to yourself, I'm walking in the energies of the divine, or I'm walking in the energies of protection, whatever you want to say, and then have your day. And then at night, sit down, think about your day. If you had a good day, bless the day. But if you did something in the day that you regret or that you wish you hadn't done, you have 24 hours to make amends. I think that's a good way to live life, don't you, George?
I think so, too. The book Psychic Attack, still available out there for people?
Yes, I've just redone it, and my Ascension book is as well, and they're both very, very, very enlightening. And I just wrote two more. I've been teaching classes.
Gosh, you're prolific.
Yeah, I am. I've been teaching classes for 30 years, and I put them in books. Book one and book two are now available, Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity.
Let's go to Susan in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hi, Susan.
Hi, George. Good evening. Elizabeth, when you were discussing the angels earlier, it struck a chord with me. I am very into a prayer practice where I ask protection of Archangel Michael. Mm-hmm. And then recently I've expanded that and included other angels. Mm-hmm. As soon as I did that, my meditative techniques went down. I didn't feel good again.
Okay.
And it seemed to put a barrier up. So I was wondering
if you could explain. Do you want to say who the angels are that you named?
Yes. Haniel, Sandalphon, Metatron.
Metatron is not an angel.
What is it?
It's an invention. It's some kind of an entity that comes in and speaks. It's not an angel. Metatron's not an angel. Neither is Ashtar.
Is it one of them.
Really?
Evil? Huh. Maybe you're conjuring up the wrong person, Susan.
I guess so, because I was
back
doing
to Saint Michael
before. and there are books out there that call them archangels.
I know. I know there are.
I didn't know that, wrongfully.
Yeah, and so I know
And you'll know that if you go to the Bible or if you go to ancient texts, that the angels are named. And I want to say named and sealed. Another illusion that people have is that the human being becomes angels. They do not become angels. There is no human being on earth that has ever become an angel.
The angel is the angel.
Right. We've never reached that vibration. This is all in the book Ascension that I wrote. And I know there's going to be people that are going to argue with me and be mad at me. However, this isn't me. This is spirit. And this has been said. And this has been declared.
We're going to come back in a moment with you, Elizabeth. And we'll take some final phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, next hour we're going to have open lines, but I'm going to open up a hotline on possession next hour. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We're going to take final calls with Elizabeth Joyce. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Elizabeth Joyce with us. Elizabeth, let me ask you about your late sister. Did she possess the same kind of psychic abilities that you have?
No, she didn't.
Interesting. You would have thought it would be genetic or carried over, but I guess not.
It is. My grandmother was very psychic. She also was a wonderful shaman, very well loved, born in Maine, and very well known all through the state of New Hampshire. And she would go out and see the animals. They would all come up to her. Birds would come and rest on her shoulder. She was fabulous. And I was trained by her when I was 5 years old. I went up and I stayed there for a year because I was sick. And that's when she told my mother that I had been born with the gift.
As a child, do you believe, at this point now that children see ghosts more than adults?
I do. I think that that could be part of imaginary friends, but I also think that they don't have a fear. They don't have the training or fear. They're in an open and free environment. I don't think all children do, but I think a lot of children do, especially the gifted, created ones. Later grow up and they're very gifted.
Should parents encourage their children who may be seeing these beings and they think they're imaginary? Mm-hmm. Should parents encourage the child?
Well, the parents should know whether or not it's imaginary or a ghost, and they do that by talking to the child and encouraging the child to tell them what they're seeing, just in case there could be some danger.
Okay,
there's two things the parents can do. They can talk to the child and communicate and allow the child to give the expression, but they also can do a house clearing at night while the child is asleep, and that would remove any of the ghosts. And then if the child still has the imaginary friend, then it's not a ghost.
What percent of ghosts are out to trick you, out to harm you?
Well, there's a man by the name of Paramahansa Yoganandaji, and he founded Self-Realization Fellowship in California.
Spell that
name. He was a great yogi, and he said that all ghosts are not good. He said they are trapped souls, and that our duty as human beings was to send them to a sphere of light where they could evolve.
He said that all ghosts are not good?
That's what he said.
All of them?
It's in his book, Man's Eternal Quest.
What do you think of that theory?
I think that what he was saying is that they're trapped souls and that they need to be helped to cross into the light. And I think it's very important to think that way.
Kind of reminds me of that lady in the Poltergeist movie. Go into the light.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a movie. That's Hollywood. But, you know, the girl that played the part of the Poltergeist movie died shortly after.
Yeah.
She died three months after the movie.
She was a little girl, right? At the time?
7 years old.
Yeah.
7 years old. So strange things happen, don't they? And like I said, it's energetic. It goes, you do not have to be afraid of. It is good to help them cross over. Some people say, oh, well, I have a friendly ghost in my house, and he doesn't cause any harm, and I like having him around. And that's fine, but you don't know. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen. All right, back to the phones we go. Oklahoma City, Robert's with us. Hey, Robert, thanks for calling. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. I was curious, you were talking about earlier in the broadcast that some people's souls get stolen, and how does a person know if they still have their soul?
Ooh, good question, Elizabeth.
A person that has that's taken over by Lucifer would change their personality and would like to do evil things. Do you remember Dexter? They become like a Dexter. So they would change, and they would go down the path of darkness. They might become a warlock. They might become somebody that tries to cast spells or somebody that tries to scam everybody. So they change from the potential of using their creativity to bring something to the world and to enhance humankind to the potential of, I'm going to hold up that bank or I'm going to steal from you. That's how you would know.
Instantly, do you know, or does it take a while?
I think it takes a while. It depends on the person. One person can wake up and be very changed and not know why, or another person will wake up and deny that they've been changed. They will delight in the change. So it's different for everybody.
Jay is in South Bend, Indiana, the wild card line. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Question for Elizabeth. I've heard a rumor floating around the intelligence community in academia for the last 30 years that, much like some royalty in Europe, our leaders, president and on down, have psychic bodyguards issued to them. Do you have an opinion on that?
Have psychic bodyguards?
Yeah.
Do I have an opinion on that? Well, let's see. I worked in aviation, and I worked in corporate jets, and I never saw anything like it when I was there. I'm not saying that people aren't intuitive and that they can't use all kinds of wonderful James Bond techniques and, mechanics to try to be psychic, but I'm not sure that that is a deliberate thing. No, I would not say that that is true.
Okay, very good. Thanks for that. Next up, Louie is in Brawley, California. Louie, it's your turn. Hi there.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Louis.
I had a question for Elizabeth. I wanted to know if there are entities that are not former humans or angels or demons, spiritual entities. I wanted to know if they exist and what they are capable of doing.
Yes, I think there are entities, and I think that they're from other dimensions or they may live on another planet. You might call them UFO or some kind of strange phenomenon like that. What they're here for, I don't know. Some entities can come and be trapped in the Earth's gravity and pulled down, and sometimes they're just here probably to learn.
So they're not spirits. They're actual physical entities.
They would look like spirits because they would be transparent. But again, if you ask them to leave, they have to leave.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
See, that boggles the mind here, that if you ask them to leave, they're just going to pick up and take off.
They have to.
What do you mean they have to? What if they don't? I'm being rhetorical.
Some of them will struggle, but George, some of them will give you a hard time. Again, it depends on how strong you are. The most important thing for people to understand is that they have the power to have the entity leave. If there's still fear, if you don't think you do, if you're second-guessing yourself, then they're going to stay and struggle. And again, they can take over the weak people. But when you say, I order you to leave, they have to go because you have to give something permission with free will.
I hope that works. That's a first for me.
It does work. And there are things that you can help if you're in a negative space. Suppose you moved into a house that's haunted, a house that maybe is on top of I had a lady that had one on top of an Indian burial ground, and she didn't realize it. And her kids were seeing all these ghosts all the time. You would really have to do an awful lot in that house to keep it clear. You'd have to have sandalwood and sage all over the place. You'd really have to play music to raise the vibration of the house, and you'd have to do diligence every single day. And so it depends on where you are, and it depends on the energetic land that you live on, and it depends on what you're doing. But that doesn't mean that the spirits can go into the body. You just keep sending them up, and eventually they'll all be gone.
You've done some work. We talked a little bit about it before, about auras. And
yes. Do
you see different color auras on people?
Absolutely.
And so what do the colors represent?
Oh, my goodness.
Give me
I have a list on my website under the chakras that has every single color and what they mean. And I was working with this in 1972 with some psychologists from Princeton who wanted to break down the aura colors. Let me see if I can remember some of them. Of course, white light is good, but...
And blue is good, right?
Light blue, not dark blue.
Okay.
When you see dark blue in an aura, that means that they're about to experience some karma. Let me just explain this to you. From the right upper shoulder, the aura comes in, and it goes through the body and out the left down by the hip. So the light of the aura comes through the right upper shoulder, through the body, and out the hip, the left hip. Basically, I'm showing you a ray, you know, a very wide ray of color.
If you don't see an aura at all, are they dead?
If you don't see an aura at all, they're very ill.
Very ill, if not dead.
You'll either see a white or you'll see a gray. I used to joke about going on an aircraft to look at everybody's aura. You'd know if the plane was going to crash. That used to be my joke.
Edgar Cayce did this a long time ago.
Yeah, I know.
About the elevator, remember?
Yes. That happened to me once, too, when I was a child. But anyway, you'll see the colors coming into the body, and that's what they have not experienced yet. And then the colors going out on the left side is what they've worked through. So if I see somebody with red and black and brown, I know that they're depressed and very angry. If I see somebody with pink, light blue, and yellow, I know that they're happy and that they probably have been doing some prayer work. But there's a whole range of them. It is on my website. It's also in the Ascension book. I don't think it's
okay.
Like
attack.
Well, let's go to Kelly in Kansas City, Missouri, east of the Rockies. Hey, Kelly, go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. Earlier, you spoke of three bad angels or entities that were on the planet right now at this time, I believe. Can you name those individuals, and can you kind of tell us what they're here for and what is their purpose?
Well, when you have an entity that somebody is praying to as an angel, you're giving the entity power to direct you. And the entity can give you a headache, it can make you sick, it can make you in discomfort, and it's doing it because that's what it's supposed to do. And what I'm trying to say is that we call angels that aren't angels. So you have to be careful. It's like the lady they called before and said she switched her prayer from St. Michael to Metatron, and that she started feeling very dark, very sick. And I told her the Metatron's not an angel, and that's why she felt that way. So that's what they're here for. They're here to bring you down rather than to protect you and raise you up. Angels are here to protect us. They're here to remind us that we are loved. They're here to remind us who they are, who we are, and they work for God. These other angels are manufactured. They're manufactured by people. For example, when you go and you hear a lecture, you hear somebody talk about, I'm channeling Mafu, and he's saying that we are this, and he's saying that we are that. That nothing makes me laugh harder than to go and watch that and watch the people go ooh and ah, because they're giving their power away. They're not experiencing their inner glory. My teaching helps you to experience your own inner glory and do with it as you see fit.
Who sends the angels down? They do it on their own? Do they send something? Do we conjure them up by asking for help?
Angels are always with us. They come in at will when there's a danger. Like when I had a car accident with my son and the door was jammed, and the boy in the back seat wanted to get out, I saw an angel come down and open the door, and he got out of the car to go for help.
I take a lot of angelic stories around Christmas, so do that in a couple months, but you would not believe those kinds of stories. Elizabeth.
Wonderful stories about angels.
They are.
There are. But then there's the ones about an angel that is an angel of darkness, and an angel of darkness is completely different. If you're driving a car and you slip on the oil slick, the angel of darkness is going to take you over the cliff. So you have to be careful.
Yeah, they want your soul, though.
And again, they do. And if you read Psychic Attack, if you read the chapter on black magic, I explain the whole thing and how it can be done. But so you do have to be careful. And these new angels that are coming along because somebody channeled them are not angels. That's what I'm saying. And I know there's going to be people that are going to disagree with me and know better and all this type of thing, but that's just the truth.
Yeah, disagreement is healthy, isn't it?
Yeah, but when somebody comes up to you, George, and said, I had a dream last night, and there's a new angel, and I'm going to have power, and I'm going to go around and make money and teach classes because of this angel, that's ridiculous.
Let's go to Calvin in Kansas City, Missouri. Calvin, go ahead.
How are you doing today?
Good, Calvin.
I actually had a few questions. I've been sitting here listening and everything.
Okay.
And I haven't done a lot of major study on a lot of things, but I've done a lot of minor study. I'm actually agnostic. And
okay.
For a lot of people that don't, like a lot of people that are listening, if you don't know what agnostic means.
It means you're not
sure. Basically, I believe in something. I just don't know what it is.
You want the proof.
Kind.
Yeah.
My question is in doing a lot of minor studying on a lot of religion, there are religions that do say that you can be cursed and stuff. And it's kind of hard to explain a little bit, like I say, because I haven't done a lot of major studying.
Well, let me say this
but
to you.
As far as religion itself goes, it's all about belief.
Correct.
If you believe you can be cursed, then
you're going to get cursed.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If you believe it, then you're creating it. But nobody's doing it to you. You're creating it.
But in the Wiccan religion,
nobody can be cursed without their permission. So if somebody says, "I'm cursing you," oh my gosh, how can you know? You know, then they're going to get scared and they're going to feel that. But it's still imaginary, it's still energetic, and it's still not somebody doing it to you. You're doing it to yourself. And as for religion, religion is man-made.
I full-heartedly agree with you.
Okay.
Now, as far as religion goes, though, you're talking about angels.
Angels aren't a religion.
Yes.
No, they're not.
Okay. Can I ask you to explain?
Sure.
Angels, sure. Angels are universal beings. They live in the seventh dimension, and they come down to the earth when called to either bring comfort or to help in a crisis situation. They are not religious.
And then we have some angels.
They are spiritual.
And we have some angels, though, who are just out to get us. The evil ones, right?
There can be lower energy, but I was explaining to him
the devil,
the concept. I was explaining to him the concept of angels.
Yeah,
yeah. I wasn't going to the dark part of it.
How can people beat the dark side?
Well, it can be hard sometimes. First of all, I think you have to be careful of where you live. I think there are pockets of energy all over the planet that are either more negative or more positive. So that would be energetic. And second of all, like I told you about the lady that was living on the Indian burial ground, you have to do things inside of your house to protect you from any kind of harm and just constantly do clearing. Sometimes you don't have to do that. Sometimes you can just choose to be happy and do the best you can for people. So there's all kinds of things that you can do to get rid of this energy. You have to break it up.
Many thanks. Elizabeth, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it.
Thank you, George. And I appreciate it.
And we got your website all linked up for you there at coasttocoastam.com. When I come back, Full Moon Friday, open lines. We're opening up a hotline for those possessed people. I'll tell you about that, too.